Our general subject has been the vision and experience of the golden incense altar. The golden incense altar mentioned in the Old Testament signifies Christ praying. It portrays the interceding Christ. This means that we are actually focused on Christ as the one praying, Christ as the one interceding. But the picture of the golden incense altar is very helpful in understanding what is revealed in clear words in the New Testament. When we put them together, we can really be helped to see something of the divine reality. Because praying intercessory prayers in union with Christ is not an elementary experience. This kind of prayer requires all of us, without exception, to be grounded and established in a number of crucial matters pertaining to prayer. For this reason, and this message will not be an exception, I began with a lengthy presentation of a certain intrinsic and crucial element or aspect of prayer. In order for any of us, including myself, to be helped by that kind of speaking, we need to be humbled before the Lord. If we are full of confidence that we are a praying one, that we know what prayer is, that we know how to pray, that God is delighted with our prayers, that our prayers carry out God's will. If this is our view of ourselves, then no one can help you. And certainly this message cannot help you. I would not give up on you. Who am I, who is a recipient of the Lord's mercy, to give up on anyone? But there's a point where we realize you can't touch anyone, you can't help them. They're sealed up, and only the Lord Himself, according to His ways, can get through. I do know a number of saints, sad to say, no one, no angel, no co-worker, no one, no member of the body can help them. But I believe we are under the Lord's mercy. We're not here full of reeking with self-confidence, thinking, I know that, I've been there, I've done that. I do believe the Lord is caring for us in a way that we're willing to reconsider. Lord, what really is prayer? What's the meaning of prayer? The purpose of prayer? What's the principle of prayer? So that we may be firmly established in these matters, and so that they may permeate more and more our daily living, not just times of prayer, but our living. And so you are in the shower or you're shaving, but you're contacting the Lord and the prayer wells up in you. It's not prayer time, but praying is part of your being. It's part of your living. It's not a religious activity. And the more the Lord can gain ground in all of us regarding these aspects of prayer, the way will be open for us to advance together and learn together to pray at the golden incense altar, that is to pray in and with Christ in His intercession. So let's review what we've covered. First, we considered the meaning of prayer. I'd like to recommend a little book to you because I am not the instructor, I am a student. I learn from one who has gone on in the Lord. Brother Lee has a little book called The Meaning and Purpose of Prayer. And you read that, you'll find out I learned these things from our brother and brought them to the Lord and exercised in the Lord. The meaning of prayer is to absorb God, to be in His presence, to receive His dispensing, and to absorb Him. And the meaning of prayer is also to express God, because prayer is an expression. It's not always with words, but it's more often than not with words. So what are we expressing? If we are expressing ourselves, that isn't prayer. Even though you may say, I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord for something. Well, in that sense, it's prayer. But the Lord would say, that isn't prayer. You're expressing yourself. How can you come before me and exhibit yourself and feel good about it? Because you're praying. What we are, our person, is strongly expressed by the way we pray. So we can be helped to know prayer is to, in its meaning, is to absorb God and express God. Then, what is the principle of prayer? The principle of prayer is that God, during this age, will not act alone, apart from His people. God has a will, a purpose, that's for sure. But He will not do it unless and until the churches, the saints, agree with Him and express their agreement by praying. So the principle of prayer is our agreement with God that a particular matter that He wants to do will in fact be done. Because God upholds this principle, He waits until someone's on the earth will fulfill it. And when God waits because of this, we can be subject to all manner of things that actually God would rather not have happen. But He permits them to happen because He will not break His principle and just act on His own without anyone praying. So not praying causes a lot of things to happen. It changes a lot of things. Praying does not change God. You can't change God's mind when it's made up. But it gives Him the way to carry it out on the earth. If you traveled here from a distance and the Lord enlightened you concerning the principle of prayer, I don't know how you would feel. I would say it was worthwhile being here just for this. Now you know why. Although God knows everything, He wants us to tell Him things. Now you know why. Although God can do anything He wills to do, He wants us to ask Him, even to tell Him to do what He wills to do. Because our God has a way. Not only a will, but a way. And His way is the principle of prayer. Then the purpose of prayer, which immediately follows, is we work together with God. This is an extension of the principle of prayer. And actually, our praying and our co-laboring lay the tracks for the divine locomotive to move. And our praying sets the limit as to how much God will work. Because God will not work independently. He wants to work in coordination with us. So how much we cooperate determines how much He does. Somewhat like a strong, capable, independent brother getting married. He yearns to be married. He loves his sister. He marries her. But now you have a co-laborer. What you could freely do on your own, you have decided, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be alone. I want to live the rest of my life in union with a person whom I love. Okay, you have committed yourself. Now you are immediately limited. And one thing dear wives do, they'll limit you to the uttermost. And that's actually very, very good for the Lord to gain ground in the husband, because he's limiting God to the uttermost. So he needs to know what it's like, so he will allow the Lord to gain him. And as the Lord gains him, he will gain his wife. That's the easy part. Okay? So this is what prayer is. Then we also considered prayer expressing God's will. This also is related to the principle of prayer, but it's focused on a specific matter. God created everything in the universe because of His will. That's Revelation 4:11. The mystery of His will has been revealed. That mystery concerns Christ and the church. This is His predetermined will. Now, to carry out this will, He wills to do many things, also predetermined. But He will not simply do them because He wills them. He wants us to pray prayers that are a union of wills. So we saw from 1 John that we need to pray according to His will, which implies that in our fellowship with Him, we need to come to know what His will is so that we may ask according to it. We also saw in John 15:7 that we abide in Him, the vine, and His words abide in us. As a result, we ask whatever we wish, whatever we will for. The verse does not say, ask whatever God wills. It says, ask whatever you will. Then it shall be done for you. So you may say, oh, you just came in this morning, you heard this for the first time. I want to live in a condo in Maui. This is what I wish. God, give me a condo. Your word says, ask whatever you wish. Well, no, you're not going to get your condo unless you bargain with the devil and he gives you one. Then you can go live with Beelzebub as your roommate in Maui. But I don't recommend that kind of cohabitation, okay? There's the context here. You are a branch who has been grafted into Christ as the true vine. The vine is Christ as the life-giving spirit. The point of grafting is the mingled spirit. To abide in Christ as the vine is to live in the mingled spirit. One spirit with the Lord. As we do this, and let His words abide in us. The words of the Scripture that have become living words. The Lord's spoken words as the Spirit. They abide in us. These words impart to us a sense concerning God's desire, God's will, God's intention. Okay? So we are now one with Him, open to Him. His words that are abiding in us are imparting to us God's will, intention, and desires. Because we love Him and are open to Him, the divine will, desires, and intention are wrought into us to become ours. If you simply pray, okay, thank you, Lord, I've got the information. I know what your will is. Lord, please do your will in this matter. Advance your recovery in Germany. Amen. The Lord would say, I can't answer that. You have no interest in Germany at all. Whether I advance in Germany doesn't matter to you. You'll forget about it by this afternoon. You have no feeling about it. I'm not answering that prayer. That is not a prayer. That's just a mechanical mouthing of information that you got, and you think it's prayer. The Lord has quite a high standard. What is precious to Him is that we are one with Him in life and in will. His desire in our abiding in Him becomes our desire. What He wills, we will. What He wants, we want. Now there's a desire in us. That is our desire. Amen. We want something. We wish for something. Our will is actively reaching for something. And that is what motivates us to pray. Prayer must come out of a desire. But the wonderful thing here is God will give us what we will because what we will is the expression of what He wills. There's a deep, precious oneness here. In Song of Songs, chapter 6, the seeker becomes the Shulamite. The reproduction of Christ typified by Solomon. In the next chapter, Song of Songs, chapter 7, the Shulamite has become the Lord's co-worker. And I love verses 11 and 12. She, not her beloved, she says, come, my beloved. Let us rise up early for the vineyards. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us see if the vine has budded, if the blossom is open, if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. And then he says, yeah, let's go. She says this. You think, oh, he should come and say, well, you're able to respond to me now. Let's rise up. Let us do the work of the body. She says, amen, I love you. That would be sweet. But what is sweet to the Lord is that she is so one with Him in will, desire, and intention that whatever He desires, she desires. He knows this. She knows this. So He's just delighted when she says, my beloved, let's rise up and work. That's what we have in John 15, 7, where we're abiding in the Lord. That eliminates everything of the flesh, of the self, the natural life. His words are abiding in us, revealing His will. This will is mingled with us to become ours, now we can genuinely pray, Lord, we want you to advance in Germany this year.
Amen.
This is our desire.
Amen.
Because this desire, this will, expresses his desire and his will, he does it. This is the prayer that expresses God's will. Now, before we come to the outline on burning the incense, I need to share another matter. And I think I have at least some understanding of all of our difficulties in prayer. I believe I've experienced all of them. Difficulties caused by my condition, by my being. Difficulties caused by personal failures. Okay? And the enemy behind the scene wanting to stop our prayer and keep us from praying and dishearten us in praying all the time. So I'd like to share something that I'm finding very comforting and encouraging. And I believe you will find the same. Wow. We want to absorb God. We want to express God. We want to fulfill the principle of prayer, the purpose of prayer, express God's will in prayer. Okay. I mean, here we are, these little people on the earth, going through all kinds of things day and night. How can we actually do this? So, the first thing I will address is our condition. You may feel, oh, like the dear brother shared last night about he prayed concerning his heart, and then he felt the Lord hasn't answered. My feeling was, brother, the Lord is making his home in your heart through faith. He's definitely answering your prayer. The body says amen to your prayer. That kind of prayer is always answered by the Lord. But you just can't see it or feel it, but it's there. And so when we come to pray, we may be filled with thoughts of our weakness, of our shortage. I don't think the second year FTTA sisters do this so much. For a while it was a pattern. They just became preoccupied with, they're so natural. I'm just natural. How can I pray? I'm natural. So I try to help them by saying, you're so natural about being natural. Forget about the whole thing. You're just too young to worry about being natural. So regarding our condition, whatever it is, this is the key. Get ready. The key is in hymn 1048. Just as I am, I come. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If we didn't learn to come as we are, who would ever pray? No one would be qualified to pray. Only the Lord alone would pray, and he doesn't want to stay alone to pray. So here we are. We're not exactly rapture ready. We're lacking in the growth of life so many things. We may be aware of it. Then the enemy is dispatching a demon to accuse you and bother you, and you feel, I can't pray. If I approach the Lord, he might strike me down. No, no. Come just as you are.
Amen.
Don't pretend to be what you're not. Don't pretend. Don't feel you have to improve. No. I have to have more experience? No. I have to be more transformed? No. My character has to be trained? No. Come just as you are.
Amen.
I'm talking about your condition now. I'm not talking about deeds and behavior. I would address that. You just come as you are. The only one who can change your condition is God. And if you want Him to change your condition, absorb God. He knows this. And He doesn't want you to come and begin your prayer time by telling Him all the bad things about your condition. Okay? Let me assure you, He already knows this. He still loves you, you know. He loves you because He is love, not because you're worthy of love. His love is unchanging. Nothing will separate you from His love. So whatever your condition is spiritually, whatever you think it is, you come to Him. Way back, I think it was 1969, I was trying to pray in the morning, and I didn't know it, I was being religious. And I thought, you know, the Lord would... I need to go through this procedure of telling the Lord how bad I was. And I was doing that again until I was interrupted and had the sense the Lord was saying, why don't you say something about me? Why do you tell me about this? You parents, would it be pleasing to you if your daughter or son would come to you and say, I'm not worthy to be your daughter. You know, my disposition is rotten and this and that. And I'm not punctual and all of this. You don't want to hear that. You know what your child needs. You'll provide what you can. Don't believe the enemy's lie. Come to the Lord just as you are. I've been learning. I have to begin every day like this. I don't know about you, but I don't usually wake up in the Holy of Holies, in the Shekinah glory. Okay. Much of the time, I'm not sure what part of the earth I'm in, what time zone I'm in. Okay. Oh, okay. I'm here. I grope to consciousness. I don't want to wake up, but I got to wake up. I don't want to get up, but I got to get up. So I wake up and I get up. And I'm not experiencing boundless energy. I need to start again, turning to the Lord, opening to the Lord, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm coming to You just as I am. So you don't have to improve yourself. You don't have to change yourself. Now we need to turn from our condition to our living, to the things we do, to failures, okay? To mistakes, to sins, to trespasses. Can we say we don't ever sin anymore? Who can dare say this? Someone is self-deceived if you say, I don't have any sin. I never sin. No. Remember, we have an enemy who fears the recovery of the real prayer, who wants to stop all of our personal prayers, who will harass you all day long on the day of the prayer meeting and tempt you and lure you and then attack you and accuse you to wipe you out from praying. Then you say, how can you come to the prayer meeting now? You had this thought. You lost your temper while you're driving your car and you express yourself in a certain way to another driver. You're a God man. Now you're going to come and show off and pray. in the church. This is the enemy doing this to everybody. And we do have our failures. So what do we do? Okay. The answer to this will lead us into a consideration of the three stages of our prayer. Concerning our condition, that is your growth in life, how much transformation you have, how much building you have, this and that, you come just as you are. But we need to realize we cannot just lose our temper and curse and then 30 seconds later say, Lord, I'm going to come to the incense altar and pray for your interest. You can't do that. God is righteous and holy and glorious. You can't do that. Then what should we do so that we can pray? There's only one answer. Overcomers know the answer. That's why they're overcomers. The answer is the blood of Jesus. Amen. They overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb. There are two altars in the whole tabernacle area. The bronze altar, the altar of burnt offering in the outer court. The golden incense altar in the holy place, functioning for the Holy of Holies. None of us at any time can just walk into the tent of meeting and come to the incense altar. We can't do this. We shouldn't do this. None of us is qualified to do this. As far as what I'm learning, it's the same every day. I must go to the altar in the outer court, signifying the cross, the crucified Christ. Coming to Him regarding my condition, just as I am. But I realize I am a flesh of sin. Sin dwells in me. That has not changed. Our flesh never changes. So I will always pray, Lord, I need You as the sin offering for the sin that is in me. Then as I'm enlightened, I would say, Lord, it's not only the sin that is in me. I did this. I did this. I failed You in this. I confess this to You. I need You as my trespass offering. The Apostle John reached the peak of spiritual maturity, became constituted with the triune God, a triune God man. But he wrote to us about how to maintain the fellowship of life, to walk in the light as God is in the light. And as we walk in the light, God is faithful and righteous. We need to confess our sins. And God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, is continually cleansing us from every sin. We need to have this realization that we cannot pray None of us, no matter how experienced, how mature, we're still in the flesh, capable of anything. We cannot pray at the golden incense altar until we first pray at the altar of burnt offering. I always begin here. I know I must begin here. I pray like this. This might be helpful to you. I learned this from Watchman Nee. Lord, apply your blood on my behalf according to your evaluation of it. I need you. Right now, apply the blood on my behalf according to your evaluation of it. Then years ago, I began to pray, Lord, apply the blood to me according to your understanding of its power, worth, value, authority, and effectiveness. In Romans chapter 3, Paul has the expression, through faith in his blood. So this is how we are able to pray when we are aware of the sin in us and when we have failed. We can't just be like Abel, acting as if he's without sin. I'll just present you vegetables. I have no awareness. The blood has to be shed. We're like Abel. We can only come to you, the Holy God, through redemption. And we have redemption. There are only us redeemed sinners on the earth. There's no one else. If we didn't come as we are, and if we didn't come based upon Christ's redemption, none of us would be able to pray. And the Lord would have no way to carry out His purpose. He knows we're redeemed sinners. But we need to know that we do not come directly to the golden incense altar to try to pray like that. None of us at any time. It sometimes troubles me, not excessively, but some, when I'm in a Lord's Table meeting in Anaheim in my district and the saints are coming, and there's virtually no prayer concerning redemption, the blood of Jesus, the cleansing, to open the way. It's as if we have no need. But the table itself with the cup separated from the bread is declaring the Lord's death, the shedding of His blood that made it possible to be here. Overcomers do not overcome because they're perfect. They overcome because of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now, here is some good news. There are two altars, as I said, in the tabernacle and the whole meeting, the whole area of the outer court. They are connected in two ways. And what I'll mention now, this is the key. This is what makes it possible for you and me to pray. The blood of the sacrifice was applied at the altar of the burnt offering. And that same blood was applied to the golden incense altar. It is because of that blood applied that we can pray. Not because our condition is better. Not because we've grown. Not because we had a good day and didn't do this or that. Not because this time we didn't give in to a particular weakness we might have. No, that's to rely upon ourselves. It is the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, shed on the cross, applied, that enables us to pray at the golden incense altar.
Amen.
We all have the same standing. Whether you're Paul or John, Brother Nee or Brother Lee, or us common members, no one is above anyone else. No one outgrows this. Our husband for eternity will be the Lamb. At least in principle, we will have a Lord's table meeting in the New Jerusalem forever.
Amen.
We will forever remember. We are here because our husband, the Lamb, shed His blood for us.
Amen.
And so, like John writes, I write to you that you may not sin. It's possible not to if you stay abiding in the Lord. But if you sin, we have an advocate. Someone is praying. If we sin, I, John, your brother, a fellow redeemed sinner, I want you to know what to do. Confess it. And God is faithful and righteous to forgive your sin. He is bound by His righteousness to forgive you that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Now here the enemy is defeated. Not by us, but by the blood of Jesus. Then as you advance in your understanding, you're still at the altar of burnt offering, you will realize, Lord, I need You as all the offerings. I'm not for God. I'm for myself in myself. You are my burnt offering. My humanity is a mess. You are my meal offering. You're my peace offering. You're my wave offering in resurrection. You're my heave offering. So we begin our praying in the outer court at the altar of burnt offering. And we pray here. Not in a ritual. I hope the Lord would rescue all of us from routine, from ritual. You just realize, I still have sin in my flesh. I could fail the Lord at any time. I have in fact failed the Lord. I have personal failures no one knows about. So, but I can still come to the Lord concerning my condition. I come just as I am. Concerning my living, my failures, my behavior, I come confessing and believing in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Please learn to believe more in the blood than in your failures.
Amen.
Don't believe in your failures. Believe in the blood of Jesus, God's Son.
Amen.
Then we may enter into the holy place and pray at the table of the bread of the presence. Now we have the second stage of prayer, which is to pray for our nourishment. Now, please listen carefully. We should, in all sincerity, pray for ourselves personally. I believe most of us had breakfast today. Some don't do breakfast. I think you ate your breakfast all by yourself. You didn't hire someone to do it. And so we ourselves need to be nourished. We need to come to the Lord and feed on Him, to open to Him and pray what's in our heart. It doesn't stop there. But in order to pray at the golden incense altar, we need the life supply. We need bread. We need to eat Jesus. And so we may pray, read, we may PSRP, we may sing. I'm sure our God has enjoyed Brother Dick Taylor singing the Word of God a lot. Pray singing. So the second stage, before we come to the golden incense altar, is to pray at the table of the bread of the presence. Then the table becomes the light of life in the lampstand. Okay? Now, we approach the golden incense altar. Now we can forget ourselves for a while. Our condition, our failures have been taken care of. And our spiritual hunger for now has been taken care of. And we've given ourselves to the Lord that day. And we consecrated that day to the Lord. And we turned our heart to the Lord. Now there's something in us that wants to join Christ in praying about other matters. And the names of saints come to mind. And whatever's in the Lord's heart comes to mind. And now we effortlessly learn to intercede with the interceding Christ. We can do this. One other matter, then we'll go through the outline and there'll still be a good 20 minutes for response. There's another way in which the two altars are connected. And that is fire. Okay? There was a law concerning the altar of the burnt offering. The law was the fire must never go out. It's always burning. And that fire was the fire used to burn the incense. We sang to him, "Let us the incense burn." So you have the incense ground very fine. And you place it on the censer, on the incense altar. But it must be burned with the same fire that was burning on the altar of burnt offering. This is important. Many of our personal prayers and many prayers have disturbed the prayer meetings because of strange fire. That's an expression used in Leviticus chapter 10. When two of the priests, Nadab and Abihu, they burned incense. But it was not with the fire from the altar. It was another kind of fire. The fire from the altar came from God. The other kind of fire comes from our natural emotion, from our enthusiasm, from our energy. This brings death into the meeting. I've been in meetings where there was an overt battle between life and death raging in the meeting, in the prayer meeting, because the prayers of certain ones are bringing in death. They didn't know it. And more often than not, there were sisters beyond their measure, but not always, very much in their emotion. If you tell them, they either cry or get angry. Well, How long will this go on? The energy, the power, the zeal comes from God. There's a fire burning on the incense altar. But it's not what we may think of when you say, oh, that one is burning, that one is hot. God has laws in the spiritual realm that are actually more strict than physical laws. You may pray, but if the energy of your prayer is your emotion and the natural life and natural zeal. So a brother shared with me just yesterday, he was in a meeting, some kind of group prayer meeting, and they were praying about some opposition in Moscow, someone trying to take over the building that righteously belonged to us, that we were constructing ourselves. And then a sister prayed, Lord, smash him against the rocks, throw him against the rocks, kill him. And no one was saying, yeah, amen, Lord, that's your will, that's your way, bash his head in. Then there was silence in the meeting until someone prayed, Lord, save him. Well, that's strange fire. Now we're going to come to this matter of burning the incense. It is the incense altar. So there needs to be incense burned there. And there needs to be fire. But it's not what we ordinarily think of as fire. It is the holy fire burning there. I would say somewhat like a pilot light. Our spirit should always be burning. But that doesn't mean your emotion is always hot. But our spirit is burning. This is Romans 12:11. Burning in spirit, serving the Lord. So at any time when you activate it, the fire comes out. But it's not the fire of your emotion. We need very definite training on this. Or our praying in this way will damage the prayer meeting. And others will be troubled, and their being troubled will keep them from praying. So we are to burn incense, and we will see this incense is the resurrected and ascended Christ added to our prayers, making our prayers a fragrance to God. So no matter what we are praying for here at the golden incense altar, something of Christ is ascending to God. And there's a fragrance. You're praying for the formation of an army. You're burdened for this. Yet, something is added to your prayer. Something of Christ is added to your prayer. To make that prayer so fragrant that when it reaches God, He's so satisfied. This is burning the incense. So we read this outline now. The incense is our going to God with Christ and as Christ in prayer for God's enjoyment. You may say, brother, I agree with Christ, but as Christ. Well, yeah, as Christ. When you pray in the Lord's name, you are praying as Christ. If you do something in the name of your boss, though you are not the boss, you are there as the boss, representing him, right? So actually, something of Christ needs to be added to our prayers. Otherwise, the prayers are not acceptable and they won't be answered. no matter how you feel about it. Two, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, incense signifies our prayer. We read Psalm 141:2. My prayer is like incense. So when we pray, something should be ascending to God. When a sister prays, she may be way in the back of the meeting hall. I've experienced this many, many times with dear sisters. They pray a few sentences, and there's such a fragrance in their prayer that the whole meeting can recognize the fragrance of Christ coming forth with our sister's prayer. It's a beautiful thing. There are a number of sisters I know, this is how they pray. I'm touched. Every time they open their mouth to utter anything, the Spirit is so pure, so clear, nothing of self, and Christ adds Himself to their prayers, and there's a fragrance. They had to learn it. They were not born with the natural ability to burn incense. They're the same as the rest of us. If we're willing to learn, we can pray like this. In particular, this is A, the incense refers to the resurrected and ascended Christ with all His work, fruits, and merit. All that He is, all that He has accomplished, and all that He does. So we need to have the kind of prayer to which this Christ can be added experientially. The resurrected Christ, the ascended Christ, with His work, fruits, and merit. So we need to know and experience the resurrected and ascended Christ to have the incense. A B. In Revelation 5:8, remember reading this verse? You have bowls and you have incense. The bowls are the saints' prayers, whereas the incense is Christ added to the saints' prayers. So our prayers themselves, even if they are perfect prayers, are the bowls. They're golden bowls, so they're divine. But incense still needs to be added to the bowls, making them one. And the incense added to the bowls, the prayers, make the prayers acceptable and effective. We should have a balanced view. You have Christ there. You have the incense there. You have the throne there. But if there are no bowls, there's nothing to which the incense can be added. So it's good for us to have a simple inward prayer to say, Lord, teach me to have prayers that are golden bowls, to which You can add incense. What is this? Teach us, Lord. Instead of assuming, yeah, my prayers are pure gold. It's not a wise thing to have such a high spiritual assessment of ourselves. It's better to be humbled before the Lord, to say, Lord, You know. You know. I just insert this. If there's one thing I want to be saved from, it's self-deception and unreality. I'd like to live in the divine reality according to God's view. Okay, C. In 8:3, incense signifies Christ with all His merit added to the prayers of the saints, so that the saints' prayers offered upon the golden altar might be acceptable to God. We need to realize in our prayer meeting that on the one side, we need to have prayers that are worthy of having the incense added. On the other side, we need to realize we need to have the incense. And incense, having incense, also requires our experience. It doesn't just flow down like snow. We either have incense or we don't. In every meeting for prayer, there need to be saints, whether they know it or not. They have experienced Christ in such a way that they have Him as incense. And as we are praying, and they are praying, the incense in them will be added by Christ to the prayers of the saints. And at the end of that kind of prayer meeting, and I've experienced this somewhat in the church, you have this sense of how pleasant, how fragrant has been this meeting. You have the deep assurance right now the throne is reacting. There's a response going on right now because Christ has brought these incense-filled prayers to God, and it's these kind of prayers that govern the universe and carry out God's administration. So we have this to look forward to. One, prayer with Christ as the incense is actually Christ Himself ascending to God. This is a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. Christ in Himself has already ascended. But now Christ in us from our spirit is ascending to God with our prayers. Two, this kind of prayer simultaneously satisfies God with a sweet fragrance and carries out God's economy, God's administration. The sequence here is important. Yes, we want to carry out God's economy, God's administration, govern the universe. But let's not forget God, okay? Let's not forget God Himself. The important thing is that He is satisfied with the prayers. When He is satisfied with the prayers, then those prayers will carry out His administration. And the incense does both. When we have both, God will be satisfied and His administration will be carried out. Three, the smoke. The incense goes up in smoke. The smoke of the incense indicates that the incense is burned and ascended to God with the prayers of the saints. Let us, the incense, burn of prayer before the Lord. So we are praying with a burning spirit, for that fire is not strange fire. It's the fire from God at the altar of burnt offering. We have the incense. Not a big bushel of it. A little handful of incense is precious. And with the fire burning in your spirit as you're praying, you are burning the incense. They ascend to God. Small a. This implies that the prayers of the saints become effective and are acceptable to God. Every once in a while, we should inquire. We've been praying about something for a long time. Why don't you ask God, is this working? I had to reconsider something I've been praying for almost 19 years, hundreds of times. And I realized, it isn't working. My prayer is not effective. Maybe there's something off with my prayer. Not with my God, with my prayer. And I realized, yeah, It's questionable whether that was even prayer. So I'm thankful for that because I don't want to be self-deceived. Then how should I pray? Okay, good question. Are you ready to learn, Ron? My young brother, the Lord might say, yeah, I'd like to learn. I know I'm an older guy, but I'm still in a learning mode. Please teach me. Okay, then you should keep praying. But why don't you pray a prayer that actually is a prayer? I said, okay. I need to learn how to do this. Okay. This is the Lord, you could say, speaking. I'm good at this. I live to do this. I've just been waiting for the opportunity. Well, is our prayer effective? Is it acceptable? Otherwise, what's the point? We're not praying into the air, to the ceiling. We're not praying to stir up others. We're praying to carry out God's economy, the prayer. It's normal for it to be effective and acceptable. Little b, the smoke indicates that the saints' prayers are effective because Christ has been added to them as the incense. See, you're not sure the incense is there, but when the smoke rises, now you know the incense is there. Because the smoke is the burning of the incense. So you're not just getting a microscope or a magnifying glass looking for incense. Oh, there's some incense. No. It's when the incense is burned, there's the smoke. That's the indicator that this prayer is ascending to God. It is the incense, not the saints' prayers, that causes the smoke to rise. So you're not pushing your prayers to heaven, forcing them. You're praying. You realize, on one hand, I need to learn to pray. I need to have a real prayer. On the other hand, even with a real prayer, I need Christ as the incense. Then your spirit is burning because you need fire to pray. You can't pray without fire. Then the smoke is the sign that the incense has been added. Little c, the smoke of the incense goes up with the prayers of the saints to the throne of God. You just imagine this. Maybe it's a kind of a rare case, contrary to Peter's situation addressed in 1 Peter 3, where a husband and wife can actually pray together. This is, sadly, very, very rare. Many brothers can pray for anyone except with their wife. And their prayers are hindered. That's 1 Peter 3, but we can't go there. But it's not always that way. A husband and wife, they're one flesh, yet they're members of the body, and they regard each other as such. When they pray as coordinated members of the body in one accord. And here are two members praying at the kitchen table. And the incense is added. And their prayer ascends directly to the throne of God. From their kitchen to the throne. I know this can be the case. I know this. Not a theory. And the prayers are answered. Once the smoke reaches the throne, you read Revelation 8, the answer is immediate and is powerful. 4, the incense typifies the resurrected and ascended Christ, the unique one who is received by God and acceptable to Him. Thus, he becomes a sweet savor to God. So don't try to make yourself sweet and fragrant. Don't try to get some kind of psychic perfume for your soul to disguise the odor that exudes from your natural life. Only Christ is acceptable. Only Christ is fragrant. None of us is acceptable. None of us is fragrant. Let's make peace with this. Let's turn from ourselves and trying to be better and trying to be perfect, and really let Christ be what we could never be. Just let Him be what He is. Let Him be what He is to us. He becomes a sweet savor to God. You could live on the earth for 50,000 years. You would never become a sweet savor to God. Imagine how many conferences and trainings you could attend in 50,000 years. It would never change. It would never make you what you're not. So it would be good if we're enlightened to just to stop our efforts to try to change ourselves and improve our condition. Come to the Lord as we are and let Him work Himself into us. And then we have Him as the sweet Savior. Since the incense signifies Christ, to burn the incense means to pray Christ. I know it's an unusual expression, like live Christ. But yes, while you are praying in words for this and that, in essence, your prayer is Christ. And you are Christ, praying Christ, with Christ added to the prayer. And it's normal because the church as the body is the corporate Christ, so it's normal that when we pray, we offer up Christ. But if this is to happen in prayer meetings, okay, and it may not, in some places it may never happen in the prayer meetings because of certain persons that are not willing to be helped. But if this is to happen in the church prayer meetings, all of us need to be touched and gained by the Lord. For this. Not for us to be super spiritual, but for the Lord to have this. I just long to be in an English language prayer meeting in Anaheim that's consistently like this. No more disturbance from the unruly souls of certain sisters. Be very frank. No more strange fire. No more prayers that are not prayers. But Christ praying corporately on the earth as a reflection of Christ praying personally on the throne. Amen. Sooner or later, because this is the Lord's recovery, there will be such prayer meetings. Amen. Will the Lord have to wait for my grandchildren's grandchildren to do it? Will he have to wait 70 or 80 years? I believe he will give us prayers that will say, Lord, you don't want to wait that long. We don't want to wait that long. We ask you to intervene now and gain and train all of us all over the recovery. God's desire is that when we pray Christ. Amen. Well, this is a very high and deep vision of prayer. We have seen, to some extent, some of the basic constituents of prayer. Now, what should we do? We just have to start from where we are and come to the Lord as we are, and not try to change our condition. And to come to the Lord through the blood of Jesus and all of the offerings, so that any problems in our living that prevent prayer are touched. Then that blood shed on the cross is applied to the golden incense altar. And the fire burning on the bronze altar is burning on the incense altar. Now, all of us have the same entrance. No one is superior to anyone else. No one comes here to the golden incense altar because they're spiritual, because they know more, because they read more ministry, because they've been here longer. No, no, no. We're all the same. We all have the same access. That's why the writer of Hebrews could say, let us enter with boldness into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. So my work is done here. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be here with you to release this initially. Now I ask Him, Lord, may Your hand follow Your word and work this out unto the glory of God. Unto Him be glory in the church.